Romans chapter 12, and I always enjoy being in the Lord's house on Sunday night. Where else could you be on Sunday night? You know, what else would you be doing? I mean, sitting at home, maybe going to a ball game, a barbecue, you know. We get to be in the Lord's house tonight. Isn't that exciting?
Amen.
And I've already been encouraged by hearing the music, hearing the good singing, and hearing you singing those praises to the Lord. That's a great blessing. And just an encouragement. You know, we are in the world all week long, and to be in the Lord's house and to be refreshed and encouraged by one another is a great blessing. And we ought to take advantage of every opportunity we can to be encouraged. Otherwise, the devil is going to get us somehow. So, Romans chapter 12. Trust you're all there. Romans chapter 12. And I'll read verse 1. The Bible says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. As the offering tray passed, a little girl took the tray, put it on the floor, and stood up in the offering plate. The usher said, Honey, why are you doing that? And she said, because they taught me in Sunday school that my whole body was to be offered to the Savior.
Amen.
This little girl got the point that she was the one who belonged in the tray and that God does not want donations. And we kind of chuckle, but I trust that that would be the case for us, that we have that same heart as that little girl to offer her whole body and willing to give it to the Lord. And that's the crux of our point, our message here tonight. And the fame of this portion of Scripture is justified, for Paul succinctly summarizes what the proper response of a Christian should be to God's grace displayed in their life. The only fitting response of a Christian is their life being a living sacrifice. From this passage, I want us to consider tonight a life consecrated to the Lord. A life consecrated to the Lord. And may the Lord use this in our heart to encourage us as God's people that our labor is not in vain, that God has a purpose for our life. He wants to use us for His purpose and to accomplish His plan for our life. So a life consecrated to the Lord. Well, a life consecrated to the Lord is, first of all, a life that remembers God's mercy. A life that remembers God's mercy. Look at that verse, our text here once again. The Apostle Paul says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God. Paul gives a strong plea here to the Romans, Roman believers. He is pleading with them, in a sense, and getting them to see how important this aspect of life is for their life to be a living sacrifice, to be consecrated to the Lord. And we see this truth at Paul's emphasis here in that word, I beseech you. He says, I beseech you, therefore, by the mercies of God. That word beseech is the idea of to exhort, to encourage someone to do something. You know, we often need encouragement, don't we? You know, it's easy to quit. It's easy to give up on something. Having kids, you know, and parents, you understand how important encouragement is and encouraging them to finish the job, to finish their homework, to finish their practicing, whatever it might be. But Paul here, in a sense, is exhorting and encouraging the Roman believers. And the idea here is of exhorting troops who were about to go into battle. Maybe a general or a leader, captain, a commander, encouraging his troops to, as they're about to go into battle. And that's the idea of their beseeching, of encouraging, exhorting them not to give in, not to quit, not to be scared of the looming danger. And Paul here is giving a strong plea to these believers and beseeching them. You can almost hear the word is almost a plea in it for the believers. And a life consecrated to the Lord is a life that remembers God's mercy. And Paul here is exhorting and pleading with these believers to see this truth, to see how important it is. He's compelling the believers here in Rome to recognize all that God has done, His mercy, and how that ought to then produce within them a life, a commitment, a consecration of their life to the Lord. Paul then says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God. Paul's call to make their life a living sacrifice comes as he considers the mercies of God. And we all, most of us are probably pretty familiar with the book of Romans, but the vast majority of Romans is God's plan of salvation. It's the gospel given in several different ways and different approaches, but it's the gospel. And we see through all those chapters leading up to chapter 12, chapters 1 through 11, the display of God's mercy and how He has been merciful to us as sinners. And now in light of that, Paul is urging and pleading with the believers at Rome. So because of this, this is what needs to be the results. This ought to flow out of our life because of the mercy of God. And even here specifically, he's making the distinction between the Jews and the Gentiles, how the Gentiles have experienced the mercy of God and His grace and in His infinite wisdom. Look at chapter 11 and verse 32. And here we see the mercy of God. For God hath concluded them all in unbelief, that He might have mercy upon all. There's not one person that's excluded from the mercy of God. Every person that experiences God's saving grace ought to flow out of their life, this attitude of their life being consecrated to God, their life being a living sacrifice. Now, Paul uses the words by the mercies of God, and the idea of those words there is because of the mercies of God, or in view of the mercies of God. I like that phrase. It's like you're standing in your scene, displayed in front of you, all the mercy of God, which was chapters 1 through 11. And he says, now in light of that, I beseech you, therefore, by the mercies of God, or in view of the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice. Because of the mercies of God, or in view of the mercies of God, Paul calls us to give our lives as a living sacrifice. Now, to apply this truth just a little bit more, I want to think of the mercy of God in your own life. Think of the mercy of God in your life, you specifically. Of all the ways that God shows His mercy. I think of Lamentations. It says, it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. The very fact that you have breath here tonight, that you are sitting here tonight, is of the mercy of God. Think of the mercy of God in your own life here tonight. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. The next verse says, they are new every morning. God thought about you this morning. He gave you new mercies. Tomorrow morning, He won't forget about you. His mercies are new every morning. And in light of all these mercies and the blessings that God bestows on our life, this is where Paul is coming to, really as the crux of his message. In Psalms 136, verse 25, a great passage on the mercy of God, he says, who giveth food to all flesh, for His mercy endureth forever. You know, you had food today. I think everybody here had some kind of food. Well, that's the mercy of God. I'm sure there's people today that didn't get food somewhere around the world. But the fact that God gave us food displays His mercy. Let's turn over to Ephesians chapter 2, and one of my favorite passages, because it depicts so clearly what took place when we experienced salvation and what we've been saved from. But this is really one of the greatest ways that we see God's mercy. It's in every area of our life, but especially in this matter of salvation and being saved. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 1. Ephesians 2:1, it says, and you hath He quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past he walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. You know what? The world's missing out. As Christians, we got it all. And what a blessing. We have such a evident display of God's mercy if you're a child of God. And this is the point that Paul is trying to drive home, that in light of the mercies of God displayed, our life ought to be consecrated. It ought to be the natural outflow for our life to be a living sacrifice to God. It is in light of God's rich mercy that Paul calls all believers to present their bodies a living sacrifice. Now, I wonder here tonight, does the mercy of God compel you to give back to God? You know, it's not like by us giving our life to God, we're getting even with God. We're paying him back. No, we can never pay God back. And as we'll see later, it's just our reasonable service. It's the least we can do is give our life back to him because of what he's done for us. And it's not like, he's given us and we're giving back and it's an equal trade. No, he's given to us and he deserves our everything. And that is our life consecrated to him. Are you compelled tonight by the mercy of God to present your body a living sacrifice? Are you willing tonight to be obedient to Paul's call, his plea here tonight? And now this, again, is for every child of God, is a call for each one of us. And tonight, does the mercy of God move us and what he has accomplished, what he has done on our behalf? So a life consecrated to the Lord is, first of all, a life that remembers God's mercy. You know, it's good to stop and remember what God has done. It's good to reflect. And even as we read Ephesians 2, just to see who we were and now what we are because of Jesus Christ. What an amazing thing. And so, first of all, it's a life that remembers God's mercy. A life consecrated to the Lord is also, secondly here, a life of self-denial. A life of self-denial. And I want to go back to Romans chapter 12. If you're not there, turn back to Romans chapter 12. And several words here in this verse, I think, help us emphasize this truth about consecrating your life being a matter of self-denial. Paul says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies. That word, present, I think is a picturesque word of self-denial. It's of us willfully giving our life up, of us willfully laying our life down, of giving it back to God. It's not the idea of resisting or clinging to their life. No, it's a willful presenting of giving their life, cheerfully laying their life down. Present your bodies, he says, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice. You know, tonight it's something we have to do. It's a choice we have to make, because it's natural, isn't it, for us to want to hold on to our life or reserve certain areas for ourselves. But Paul here is saying that we present, that we lay our bodies down, that we give it back to the Lord. We give up ourselves. It's an attitude of self-denial. You know, it takes humility. If we're proud, if we're selfish, you know what? We're not going to be a sacrifice that God will be pleased with. We're not even going to be willing to give our life. We have to be humbled. We have to, again, recognize and be humbled by the mercy of God that in return causes us to willfully present our bodies to God. Now, God in His wisdom, in His sovereignty, allows us to choose. And we can decide what we're going to do with our life. Now, we experience the consequences of our decisions. But you know what? Paul here is emphasizing, he's trying to help us to see, okay, this is what you need to do with your life. This is what you need to decide to do with your life. You know, don't make your own decisions in this matter. No, present your life to God. Present your body a living sacrifice. So that word present, I think, expresses the idea of self-denial. But I think that word bodies does as well. He says, present your bodies a living sacrifice. Matthew Henry said, We receive from the Lord every day the fruits of His mercy. Let us render ourselves all we are, all we have, all we can do. It's not just part of our life. It's just not one day of the week that we give our life to the Lord. No, as he articulated well, let us render ourselves all we are, all we have, all we can do. Give it back to Him. Paul says, present your bodies. Paul's emphasis is on every part of our body, every part of us. Being given back, presented to the Lord. You know, that's the kind of people God uses, is one, those who lay everything on the altar, those who put everything there for God. You know what? When we hold something back, God can't use us like He wants. And He says to present your bodies, every part of us, every aspect of our life. There shouldn't be something in our life that we don't want to give up because for God. There shouldn't be an area in our life where we're not willing to surrender and yield it to God. No, the attitude is present your bodies, every part of it. And that's pictures that self-denial that is involved here in a life that's consecrated to the Lord. Next, that phrase, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. I think that phrase as well articulates this idea of a consecrated life being a life of self-denial. It speaks of an ongoing dedication to God. You know, if it was just one time that we had to dedicate or yield our life and present our life to the Lord, you know, we wouldn't have to worry about it the rest of our life. But in the Old Testament, the sacrifices were a one-time thing. They would offer a lamb or a goat or whatever it was. And that was it. The sacrifice was done. But here we have a different picture, that of a living sacrifice. Something that is ongoing. It's a continual offering. It's a continual sacrifice that we are making to God. So, you know, there may have been a time in your life you were surrendered and yielded to God, that you were presenting your life. But you know what? What about today? Is it still a living sacrifice? Is it still presented, your life presented to God? Not a sacrifice that is offered once and then it is gone, but rather a lifelong sacrifice or yielding of your life. I think it's neat here. The picture presented here is of a living sacrifice. It resembles the animals that were brought to the temple to be sacrificed. And what they would do is they'd bring them, and at least in some instances, they would tie them to the altar and leave them there. And then as the priest or whoever would sacrifice them, they would take those animals. But it's the idea of our life being tied to that altar. And it's a living sacrifice. It's not one that's going to die and then be gone. But it's a living sacrifice. It's an ongoing dedication to God. So there we see once again that attitude of self-denial. I wonder here tonight, have you presented your body, your life, every part as a living sacrifice to God? You know, it's something continually as believers we need to be doing, a decision we continually need to be making, is, Lord, here's my life. It's not a one time and it's done. No, it's a continual thing that Paul is trying to emphasize. It's a living, it's ongoing sacrifice. You know, when we get into, when we allow sin into our life, or when we allow something that slows us down from being committed and living for the God, for God, you know, we're not that living sacrifice. We're not what we ought to be. And there comes a need for us to continually lay our life down as a sacrifice for God. Now, I wonder here tonight about children. Children need to sacrifice, commit, present their lives as a sacrifice to God. You know, that's something important at a young age, to understand that your life isn't your own. It's God's. And you need to have that attitude that, you know what? It's the Lord's. It's His. And I can serve Him. I can live for Him. I can do, my life can be used of God. And children ought to have this attitude. And parents, it ought to be our responsibility and our desire to instill within them that their life belongs to God. Amen. That they can have this attitude that of their life being a living sacrifice. You know, it's important for new believers to have this attitude of their life being a living sacrifice. And they ought to, as new believers, they ought to have that kind of heart. As maybe I could say old believers, if you've been saved for a while, again, that attitude of a living sacrifice and continually our life being presented to the Lord. And you know what? I'm just thinking of different categories here. Adults, you know, our life needs to be presented a living sacrifice. You know, we're not an exception because we've been saved for 20 years or because we're over 45 years old. No, our life until we die needs to be a living sacrifice to God. So we've seen here that a life consecrated to the Lord is a life that remembers God's mercy. Secondly, a life of self-denial. Thirdly, I want us to see a life consecrated to the Lord is a life that's pleasing to God. You know, do you want to please God with your life? Do you want Him to be glorified? Do you want Him to be pleased with your life? Well, this is the key right here. This passage, this verse is the key. And I think, as I've thought about this passage, you know, it's such a familiar verse. And I even hesitate, well, should I preach on that? You know, everybody's going to think I just picked an easy verse or something to preach on. But I think it, as I've prayed about it and thought about this verse, and even as I said at the beginning, the fame of this verse is justified. It ought to be one of the most familiar verses to us. It ought to be something that's very at the tip of our tongue, this verse, because it's so important. It describes what the Christian life ought to look like. A living sacrifice that's holy and acceptable unto God. And it's our reasonable service. So it's a life that's pleasing to God. Now, what makes our sacrifice to God pleasing? Well, we've looked at it a little bit, but that phrase, once again, a sacrifice that's living. You know, God doesn't want us to make a sacrifice something for Him and then us to get off the altar, so to speak. Or to stop living for Him or stop serving for Him. No, He wants it to be a living and ongoing sacrifice. And that's what pleases God. It ought to be the way of our life. And not just when we choose, just something that's natural. And that pleases God. We also see that it's a holy sacrifice. I think it's something that God's, when we offer our life as a living sacrifice, it's something that's holy, that God sees as holy. But you know what? Our life needs to be holy. It needs to be what we give to God ought to be holy. He wants our life to be holy. In the Old Testament, the sacrifices had to be without blemish. This idea of a holy sacrifice is fitting. It just fits with the idea of a sacrifice because it's going to a holy God. And He desires a holy sacrifice, our life to be holy, to be fitting, to be set apart. The commentator on Romans, Moo, said it implies here that the offering of ourselves to God involves a being set apart from the profane and a dedication to the service of the Lord. It's a holy sacrifice, set apart from the things of the world. You know, our life, if it's going to be pleasing to God, if our life as a sacrifice is going to be pleasing, you know, it can't be tainted by the world. It doesn't mix. It doesn't, God can't accept it. It has to be pure. It has to be holy and pleasing to God. And friend, I think there's too much in Christians today, a love for the world, a love for the things of the world. And our sacrifice of our life isn't pleasing to God because it's not holy. It's tainted. It's mixed with the things of this world. And our life, our needs to be holy and pleasing to God. An unclean sacrifice is not pleasing, I've said this, to God. It's to a holy God. He is well pleased when our lives are holy and pure. Tonight, is your life that kind of sacrifice that God is pleased with? That's holy? That's not spotted by the world? That's not tainted in some way? And things just we don't want to get out of our life? You know, God won't accept that sacrifice. He won't be pleased with that. We also see here that this sacrifice is acceptable to God. A living sacrifice that's holy is acceptable to God. It's pleasing to Him. It's the idea of a sweet-smelling savor. The sacrifices was the idea of being offered to God. And here our life that's holy and that's a living sacrifice, it's acceptable to Him. He desires it. It pleases Him when our life is offered as that kind of a sacrifice to God. He is pleased. It is a sacrifice that He accepts. Tonight, is your life pleasing to God? Is it one that He desires and He wants? Or does He have to say, well, I can't accept that offering. I can't accept that sacrifice because it's not holy. It's not pure. Presenting our bodies to God, we see the last thing of this verse. It's our reasonable service. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. It's reasonable for us to offer our life to God. It's reasonable for us to present our life, our bodies, a living sacrifice. It's reasonable. You know, it's not some great trial we have to go through. You know, it's the reasonable thing. When we think and reflect on the mercy of God, it should just be the natural thing for us to give our life back to Him. He gave His life for us. It's our reasonable service. It's just the least that we can do is give our life back to Him. You know what? This verse is fitting for every single Christian. It's not just for those going into the Lord's work or those that are going to be a missionary or a pastor someday. No, every child of God needs to present their body a living sacrifice. There's not one child of God here tonight that's excluded from this. And if you're a child of God, we need to be obedient. We need to obey Paul's command here to make our life a living sacrifice. Today, too many Christians are caught up in making their own sacrifices for themselves. They don't want to sacrifice for God because they want to live for themselves. They're not willing to give up things because they want to live for themselves. And Paul is saying here, it's a reasonable service. It's just reasonable. It's just common sense. It's just natural for us to give our life back to God. And that ought to be an attitude that pervades our life. And if that attitude pervades this church, this can be a powerful church that God will use. Because all of us have laid our life down. There's nothing that we're holding on to. There's nothing that's more important to us than living for God, than living a holy life. And I go back to what the point I was trying to emphasize is that every believer, you know what, it's whether you're called into the Lord's work in a full-time way or not, we're all in the Lord's work. We're all full-time Christians. We're all servants of the living God. And no matter what our calling or our vocation in life is, we all are called to be a living sacrifice to consecrate our life to God because it's the right thing. It's the reasonable thing to do. You know, there's a lot of things in life that we don't necessarily even think about because it's reasonable. We just do them. You know, if somebody is kind to us, you know, we just say thank you because it's the right thing. If somebody in front of us drops a $100 bill, it's just the right thing to pick it up and give it back to them. Well, there's a lot of things in life that we understand that concept. And this is no exception, that it's just reasonable for us to present our bodies a living sacrifice to God. And may that be the case for every one of us here tonight, that we are presenting our life to God. Do you see it as reasonable? Is it a difficult thing for you to grapple with and say, oh, I don't want to live for God. I don't want to be completely sold out for God. And, you know, is that hard for you? Is that a challenge? Well, Paul says it's our reasonable service. It's just the normal, natural thing for us to do. And if there's a struggle there, we ought to yield that to God tonight. We ought to just lay it all on the altar tonight for God. And, this is the kind of person that God is going to use. This is the kind of person that's going to be used in His church, the body of Christ right here. This is the kind of person that God is looking for to do great things with. One who's given their life to God. One who's yielded and has presented their bodies a living sacrifice to God. Now, just one other thought here I wanted to mention about the consecrated life, a life that's consecrated to God. You know what? The consecrated life gives purpose to life. You know, if we haven't laid our life in God's hands, if we haven't laid it on the altar and given it to Him, you know what? As a Christian, our life is going to be just floating around. There isn't going to be true and real purpose to our life. And it's essential for us as believers to yield ourselves to God. And you know what? He gives us a purpose then of life. We have a goal. We're seeking to please Him in everything we do and everything we do and say and everything, all of our desires of life. It's to please Him. It's a living sacrifice that's holy and acceptable unto God. And it gives us a purpose in life. And many Christians are living without a real purpose and drive for their life. And that's why they get entangled with the things of this life. Because they don't have that purpose that comes when we lay it all on the altar for God. I wonder tonight, have you presented your body? Has your life been given? Have you willfully just laid your life down for the Lord? You know, the worldly mindset is, no, this is my life. I want to do with it what I want. But what does the Bible say? He that saves his life will lose it. And he that loses his life shall find it. And if we lose our life, if we lay it down on the altar for God, oh, we've found life then. We are living how God wants us to. And from that, God can use us and He empowers us in a mighty way. Have you presented your body tonight, your life to God as a living sacrifice? Is it holy? Is it acceptable to God? Are you living your life such that it is set apart from the unholy? Is it obvious to those around you that your life isn't yours? That your life doesn't belong to you. Your life has been bought by the precious blood of Jesus. And it's His body. It's His life that He is giving to you. And He just simply calls for you to give it back to Him. It's not too complicated. But a life consecrated to the Lord. Does that describe your life? A living sacrifice tonight? Well, a life consecrated to the Lord is a life that remembers God's mercies. May we be compelled tonight, because of the mercies of God, to present our life a living sacrifice. It's a life of self-denial. But you know what? It's a life that pleases God. And if you tonight lay your life down as a sacrifice, a living sacrifice to God, He is pleased. He is well pleased. It's something that brings glory and honor to God. May we as a church be a body that is made up of those who've presented their bodies a living sacrifice to God. God wants to use each one of us. He wants to empower and use us in a mighty way. And it's just the normal, natural thing for us to give our life back to God. Maybe there's something here tonight that is hindering your life from being consecrated to God, from being set apart, from being sacred to God, because it's something that you desire or it's something of the world. Tonight, would you deal with that and recognize that it's just reasonable. It's just the right thing for us to give our life back to Him. And you know what? As I said earlier, it pleases God. He brings blessing as a result of us giving our life to God. We're not missing out on anything when we give our life to God. And that's what the world needs to see, is Christians that are fully yielded and committed and surrendered to the Lord Jesus Christ. And many Christians are half Christians. And the world isn't drawn to that. But those who are living sacrifice, and that's holy, and their life is set apart to God, the world notices that. And it catches their attention. And that's what we need here tonight. I trust this verse, a simple verse, but so profound, so essential to the life of a Christian. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Let's pray. Lord, tonight, would you move us? May your Spirit impress deeply upon us areas in our life that need to be corrected, areas that we are holding on to. May we just willfully present it to you, holding nothing back. Oh, Lord, tonight, would you work in each of our hearts? We can all go deeper in our commitment, in our sacrifice and yieldedness to you. Lord, may it be a reminder for us. May it be a challenge. If there is someone here tonight, Lord, who has not consecrated their life, who is not daily yielding their life to you, and may this simple yet profound verse be a challenge to each one of us. We trust your Spirit to use it in our lives and in our church. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.